We shall look now for a short time, the Lord helping us, in the chapter which was read, Genesis, chapter 49. And we can read from verse 8 to the end of verse 10. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down and he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And verse 10 in particular, and indeed the last part of the verse, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And no doubt, as we're well aware, Shiloh here is the Messiah. And there is a confirmation regarding Messiah that there shall be a gathering of people to him. And that for sure is the gathering that matters for ourselves. For if we're not in this gathering, what gathering are we in? So a few thoughts about Shiloh, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. There is a prediction here in actual fact, when it says the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And Judah, as we know, is one of the tribes wonderfully spoken of by Jacob. There were some tribes and they were dreadfully spoken against. In fact, they were cursed. And Jacob was given that, of course, by the Lord. So it was not a mere curse from a mere man. It was the God of eternity who was exceedingly displeased with Reuben, Simon, and Levi because of their excessive wickedness. And that happens to this day where there is excessive wickedness, not that the Lord measures out to everyone who are exceedingly wicked beyond what is normal, but he does show and give an example of his righteous indignation in some, and Reuben was one, and Simeon and Levi were the others. And that's a solemn reminder to sinners like us, where there are excessively wickedness in the lives of people, there is a danger of God visiting them in his sovereignty. Others he could have, but it's a very solemn reality that, so to speak, we hear of people dying before their time, meaning that they didn't live a normal life to an old age. And don't mistake me, friends, we know that people die of different things at different times, normal people like ourselves, but there is this in the providence of mankind. The wicked can shorten his life, and obviously shorten blessings. But the wonderful thing is that there are blessings for others pronounced here in the other tribes, Judah being one of them. And it seems from this part of the Word of God that Judah was to prevail until the arrival of the Messiah. That is what has been said here. It's a prediction for the good of the Jews and for the good of mankind, of the arrival of the Messiah. How often it has been would have been said by the people, when will he come? And of course we knew that the wise men knew, and others knew who were of the godly, and the bulk of the people were looking for signs, and the godly were looking for signs. And here is Judah one of the tribes prospering, and in the occasion of the existence of Judah, there was to be the power that it had, and the place it had, and the extensiveness of its influence was to die out, and at that time Shiloh would come. There's many such predictions in the scriptures about the arrival of the Messiah. We would expect, of course, because it was promised. And so that the people would not be mistaken, because there were many false Christs who would pretend to be the Messiah and deceive the people. But God is taking care of his church, and God is kind to mankind, that the signs of the Messiah would be given. And this is one sign, that he would arrive at that particular time when Judah's influence would be weakened. And that they could conclude with other signs also that this remarkable person that came into their midst is indeed the Messiah. A Messiah, a Savior. Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Well, it's a wonderful visitation from the God of eternity. That point, when his purpose to give the Messiah is so vivid and so clear and so obvious, that Christ Jesus, his Son, came into the world. And he did. And there's a wonderful history in the Gospels. Foolish people that will not listen to these four Gospels. What an announcement of the arrival of the Messiah. But in connection with this Shiloh, one of the highlight revelations in connection with him is that he's a peaceable person. He's peaceable. You remember the angels to the shepherds, goodwill on earth. And he was born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And goodwill, peace to perishing sinners. And that is evident throughout the ministry of Christ, throughout the life of Christ. So peaceable, so overflowing with peace. Ever proclaiming peace, ever preaching peace, that was a prominent matter in his life. Of course there were threatenings. Of course there were very solemn announcements. But these solemn announcements and cautions and warnings were given that the people may consider this wonderful aspect about Shiloh, about the Savior, peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. How wonderful that is. And that's something to this very day that we are looking for and wishing and anxious that we would see more of it. The world is afraid of a third world war. Well, no wonder. Shaking in their shoes, so to speak. But there's peace. Third world wars may come, but there's a wonderful area, government, kingdom, and it's a kingdom of peace. Shiloh. Any person could come to him in distress and they would go away with peace. Any person could cry to him regarding body and they would go away in peace. Be it spiritual, be it temporal, be it their mind, be it their body, be it their soul, and they would go away with peace. That was his ministry. And the greatest matter of all in connection with the peace he had was, as he said to one poor soul weeping over her sins, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." And there's no peace like that. There's no peace like that. It's peace for time and it's peace for eternity. "My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Well, he's a wonderful, wonderful person, Shiloh. He's renowned for bringing sympathy, for bringing kindness, for bringing smiles, for bringing help, whatever, to poor sinners in this world. It's true, friend, it's true. Although he's so horribly hated because, of course, poor, silly sinners want peace from sin, from ungodliness, from wickedness. They're anxious for peace, of course they are, and the world is very anxious for peace, and the world is afraid, men and women like you and me, of a third world war. They're crying out for peace. But the peace they want is peace in their ungodliness, peace in their sin, peace to enjoy the world, the flesh and the devil. No such peace. Well, here's a glorious one, and he's got the right peace for you, and he's got the right peace for me. And thy sins are forgiven thee. Well, that's this Shiloh, this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what our communion has been about, coming to confess our sins and to examine ourselves and to prepare for the table of the Lord. Some to sit at it, others to gaze upon it. Surely the prime thing throughout the whole communion is that there is peace on earth. There's hope for the worst of us. That's what communion seasons are full of, and when we remember the death of Christ, is to remember the Messiah, that he came into this disturbed world, this restless world, this world of war, this world of unrest. Look unto me and be ye saved, to give peace, friend. You know, we fell in Adam. Dispeace. We try that and we try this, dispeace. But Shiloh has come. Shiloh has been in our midst. Shiloh has been preached. Shiloh has been lifted up. Shiloh, who says, look unto me and be saved. He is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior. Well, never forget him, friend. And one of his great activities, of course, as we have in the next part of the text, it says here, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And as I said at the outset, there is no gathering, friend, like this gathering. And there's no gathering like this gathering that we should long to be in and with. This crowd, this multitude, this gathering of people who flock round Christ. There's lots of gatherings in this world. Religious gatherings and no Christ there. Sports gatherings, no Christ there. Political gatherings, no Christ there. The gathering that matters is that we would gather where Christ is. Now the thing that we're told here explicitly is, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. It's a noted gathering, the Church of God. And we are part of the Church of God, and what a privilege that is. We're a branch of the visible church. We recognize the visible church worldwide. That is to say, where the Bible is, where there is the reading of the Word, where there is the preaching of the Word, where we have the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism. There are marks of the visible church. The Bible is their book. Who's their Messiah? Professedly, it is this person here. And we are a branch of that visible church. And that's a great privilege to be a branch of the visible church. And every branch of the visible church should be doing their utmost to be like their Messiah, to do their utmost to be followers of the Messiah. But what I'm trying to bring before you is best I can, we hope by the blessing of God, we're in the visible church. We're where the Messiah is. We're a branch of the visible church. Now the sad thing is, of course, that there was great gatherings that came to Christ when he was here in time. But they didn't have a specific and proper and biblical interest in Christ. They gathered where he was. They were taken up with problems like us all. We've got our problems. You know, they came for the bread, but they didn't come for the bread of life. We were speaking about that last night. Although Christ showed plainly that his flesh and his blood were meat and drink indeed. But they didn't want that. So while they gathered round Christ, they didn't gather for the right reasons. The valid reason. Of course it's valid to go to Christ with your problems. It's foolish if we don't. But is that all that matters? No, it's not all that matters. Yes, keep going to Christ with all your big burdens, with all your little burdens. But be in the gathering that the church, the true church, those who are the people of God, there's the visible church and the invisible church, those who are united to Christ by faith, that's the gathering that matters. To have Christ as my Savior, to have Christ as my King, to have Christ as my Lord, and to have Christ as my Governor, to have Christ as my Priest, my all and in all, to be with him in time and to be with him in eternity. That's the gathering that we should long to be off. And once you're in that gathering, friend, you may fall. Sadly, we know some of God's people fall extremely low. And perhaps we can't figure out how they came back the gathering and to be noted as followers of Christ. But this is part of Christ's power. This is part of his power. It says quite distinctly, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He's in it. So you see, when you are gathered into the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's your Lord and he's your Master, he's your King, he's not going to let you fall away. He's not going to let you fall away. Those who gather to Christ with their daily needs, and so we should, because he's taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Is that all? As I said, well, friend, this wonderful Messiah, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Once we are in the hand of Christ, no one is going to take them out of his hand. You're with him forever. And he knows his people. He knew Solomon. He knew David. He knew their follies. And we look on them and we say to ourselves, I would like to be like David, a man after God's heart, but I don't want to be like him in another aspect. God forbid. But the wonderful thing is, the gathering of Christ upon David and the person of David was to bring him back to himself. It was to waken him up to his backsliding. It was to waken him up to his great folly. And it was to bring him back to this, to mourn over his iniquities, and to cry out, cast me not from my sight, nor take thy Holy Spirit away. So what we are saying, friend, once you're in Christ forever. Come to him for what you will and what you should come to him for. There's countless things to come to Christ for. But once you're in him, truly in him, truly united to him, drawn to him, and drawn by his power, and you're saying, to whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Never let me go. And you can see, friend, David, others, Samson, we were speaking about that last night too. He never let them go. What a savior. What a savior that is. And that's the savior you want. And that's the savior I want. Or we should want. And I do want. He'll never let you go. He'll never slip out of your hand. You know, in ordinary life, there are certain things you can have in your hand and they jump out. You've lost them for some reason. Slip out. You'll never slip out of the hand of the Messiah. And to him shall the gathering of the people be, once they're in his grip, once they're in his hand, once they're under his gracious salvation, redemption, atonement, his kingship. No one's going to steal them out of his hand. No one's going to steal them out of this gathering of individuals. It's impossible. I will never let thee go. Never, ever. Think of the gathering then, this gathering of the children of God to this glorious, glorious Savior. It's him, of course, all power to him. It's him that took them there in the first place. They were running away and he caught them. And he took them to himself and he embraced them and he kissed them. And it's a kiss which says, I will never let thee go. Do you know anything of that, friend? I hope so. I know we all don't. It's obvious, but it's our wish nevertheless. Think about these things then on the last day of our communion, that the Savior we have preached to us is a Savior that once in Christ, he'll keep us there. And that's a great consolation and a great comfort to the children of God. For they know something of the carnal mind, and they know something of that creature who goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have a wonderful Savior that will not let us go. And saying that, that Savior, since we came here, has been commended to us time and time again in all the preaching we were hearing. And we know he's commended to you Sabbath after Sabbath. And when you leave this world, what gathering will you be in? There's only one gathering worthy for a poor creature created in the image of God. And that's this gathering we're endeavoring to speak about Christ, their Savior, truly united to him by faith, bound up in the bundle of life in Christ. And we were hearing last night about the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die. And if it's not obvious to you now as to where you are for eternity, it's pretty obvious that the day of your death is not far off. And you're going to come to the day of your death and you don't know whose you are. You don't know where you're going. So you see, friend, It's most important to think of this once again. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be, that you would, at the end of your last few steps in this world, would be in Christ. And that you would be able to say in truth, he is all my salvation and all my desire. But another matter regarding Shiloh, and this is in keeping with the text, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. God is sovereign to give the gospel to the children of Israel. Out with that, yes, strangers, we're welcome to come. Strangers were welcome to come. But it was mainly to the Jews. It was mainly to the Jews. Strangers left Egypt and followed the children of Israel. They were very wise that they did. But there were better times ahead when the whole world was to hear of the Messiah. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So when it says here, and to him shall the gathering of the people be, there was to be a great awakening, a great stir in the Gentile world. Tremendous stir, and there was indeed. And it began with the arrival of the Savior. And you remember a wonderful example of the Gentile world being drawn to Christ in the woman of Samaria. Wonderfully drawn to him. And she was so taken up with it. She loved the Savior. And she went to her friends and they were influenced by her testimony and they came to the Savior. And then the preaching of Saul of Tarsus and of the apostles, it went throughout the Gentile world. It was such a remarkable thing. So that when Shiloh shall come, that predicted time by the triune God, born of the Virgin Mary, a mature person, preaching and teaching, suffering and dying and atoning for sin. This whole thing spread through the Gentile world. And we're part of the Gentile world. And this is precisely very much within the bounds of this text here. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And out of these Gentiles, there were those people who not merely followed for material benefits, but for spiritual benefits. And that's why the gospel is throughout the whole world, because of this prediction. Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And the whole intent on the part of the Messiah is to make known to the whole world, that he is the governor of nations, and that his name and his name alone is the name that will save a sinner from the wrath which is to come. So prior to the Messiah coming, it was among the Jews, and the Messiah was, of course, gathering these Jewish people into himself. But he has another mind, you see, to extend to the whole world. And that brings us back to where we spoke about already, that we ourselves are bound up in this, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And to be under that dispensation and under that truth, friend, we are more privileged than any other group, society, religious society or whatever. We are highly privileged to have this spoken to us once again, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. You are a wonderfully privileged people. And it's all because of Christ. And we can see that there are those who have a particular interest in Christ to remember his death. And that's a privilege to see that. It's all part of this. And to him shall the gathering of the people be. So you're in the place of opportunity. You're in the place of liberty. You're in the place of the King. You're in the place of the Messiah. Are you going to just look on and not desire to be in a particular aspect of the gathering of the Messiah? That's how it ought to be. What else matters? Nothing. Nothing. Let everything else go. Even if it means poverty, give me this, to be in the gathering of those who sit at the feet of Christ, as Mary did. And to him shall the gathering of the people be. Martha was there too, but Martha was not exercised about the matter as she ought to have been, it seems, by what Christ said. And let God's people be exercised about this great matter, to be near Christ, to be near him. He's your comfort, he's your consolation, he's your all and in all. He's the one that you hope to be with at last in glory. Here we are under the gospel, and we have gathered here today. Is it not because of this truth? And to him shall the gathering of the people be. That's this gathering, small gathering. But are you still far away from Christ? Well, ponder this fact, the need to be in Christ and to be bound up in the bundle of life in Christ. Do you appreciate these matters? This also is a day of thanksgiving. Can you think of anything in your life? Can I think of anything in my life of greater import than this? To give thanks to God for, to thank him for. If you didn't have that gathering and to belong to that gathering, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and the gospel comes to you and you're surrounded with gospel sermons, people interested in the gospel. If you didn't have that, it's outer darkness. Where there's no gospel, there's no light. Where there's no gospel, there's no Messiah. Lost, lost, lost. But we have it. And here we are. And are we going to saunter through gospel sermons? And that's all. And not come to Christ. Friend, a day of thanksgiving. You're under the gospel. You're under the truth. You're under the extraordinary truth that Christ Jesus came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. You're in the very place to be saved from the wrath which is to come. That's something to thank God for, deeply. And I tell you, those who by and by go to glory, and those who are in glory, the spirits of just men made perfect, they are thanking God. But that thanks began on earth, that they were ever under the gospel. That thanks began on earth, that they ever saw the reality of the need and the necessity of Christ. It doesn't begin in eternity. It begins on earth. It's highlighted in eternity. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. It's part of our religious exercises to give thanks to God. Now we know there are people who thank and thank and thank. It's generally for temporal things. But the cream of all thanksgiving is this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and there's a Savior there for a wretch like me. And that's what you'll be doing in eternity if you're in Christ. And are you in Christ? Well, think of this truth, friend. Shiloh has come among the Gentiles. Among the Gentiles. He was among the Jews. And the extensiveness of it to the ends of the earth. You're a privileged person. You're a marvelously privileged person. Do you know what it is to go to God and thank God for Christ, my Savior and my Lord? And I'm enthralled with this, and I long to be with Christ. Well, this is a marvelous thing, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And we think sometimes of individuals, some of us know that, gatherings where the king is. And such has gone, and such has gone, and there they are. And we think them privileged. They will rightly think themselves privileged, as I suppose. Well, that's small. We're not despising that. But we actually are way above that. Christ was in our midst. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And he was here on Sabbath. He was here on Saturday. He was here on Friday and Thursday. It's all part of the communion. There's no gathering, but Christ is there as he has promised. But are we united to him and gathered to him? That's cause for thanksgiving. We thank God for Christ. We thank God for the Bible we have. We thank God for all the blessings that are bound up in the person of Christ. And when we are kept in the truth, and that's a wonderful thing, and not veering away as we see so much in the visible church, that's something to thank God for. The blessings bound up in Christ. The purity of worship. I tell you, friend, we are apt to think little of these things, but it's all part of the glorious Messiah, how he is to be worshipped, the ways to be worshipped, and so on. But especially that we would be united to him. That surely must be the finale. The gathering of poor sinners to his bosom. There was that one lost lamb and that one lost sheep. He went, he sought it, he found it, he embraced it, he carried it. Are you as close as that to Christ? That's what matters. Well, I hope we do know a number of us in truth. The blessedness of what we have here, Shiloh, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And that's the prayer of God's people, that we would see enormous gatherings. Once again, people anxious for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Ferentos Burn there, 10,000, I think if I remember rightly, gathered there. And if we are to understand the spirituality of that age, it was beautiful. It was Christ-centered. It was Christ-centered. There is a story of young people who are deeply influenced by the gospel. And it was not so far from here, a number of years ago, of course, when religion, true religion, thrived. And there was a number of tables, I can't remember the actual place, and it was filled with young people. And as the story goes, when they took the cloth off the table, it was wet with the tears of the young people. And shortly after that, there was a plague, and they were swept away to eternity. But they had the one thing needful, you know. That's what you've got to think of. Have you been gathered in by God's word and power, and you adore Christ? Oh, what a thankful person you are, and will be more so throughout the endless ages of eternity. May he bless his word to us. O eternal and ever gracious God, do thou love us freely? Do thou draw us to thyself? Help us to be thankful for the marvellous privilege of the gospel of thy grace, that we are in the place where sinners are saved and have been saved, generations, and will be saved now and to generations to come, all beholding the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. O Lord, put thy drawing upon us and give us the cry, draw me, we will run after thee. Be with us now as we go our separate ways. Purge away our sins. Love us freely and accept a fast in the Saviour. Amen.